preaches. I got it right here. Joe Man's phone.
Lord preaches, I need to pray.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't get any direction from God. Other than he never gave me direction to stop. But about 10 days ago, I was back there praying. I thought about Brother Brian Pratt County. I remembered his testimony. That boy that was a thief and a liar that his parents had adopted. Imagine the heartbreakness of adopting this child. He's a thief and a liar. Trouble. He's in a Christian school. Eat up, sitting at his desk, knowing he's a thief and a liar. And there was this little book there that said, Jesus will help you. The parents got to do something. I wept back there. The first confirmation I had on the meeting was weeping over this man. I need to pray. Now, Father, you know that I'm not real good at praying. I talk to you. And sometimes I'm probably the sorriest person that talks to you anywhere. But I know that Moses reasoned. He said this. He said, if you wipe out Israel in the wilderness, what will the Egyptians say? What would they say? What would they say in the land of Canaan if you wipe these people out? You know full well what they would have said. They'd have talked about you. My God, when I came to this church 13 years ago, you laid it on my heart with absolutely no nonsense. That we would accept nothing in this church of salvation but a person with full assurance, having assurance from the Word of God. And I have watched you transform a few lives. Utterly transform. Utterly transform. My God, I have so many people out here now. They're stacked up like airplanes in an airport. Nowhere to land. And you know what people say about it. You know what they're saying. They're standing there, they think they're mixed up like a Chinese fire drill. They think this is the silliest, goofiest thing they've ever seen. And my God, I know this, it's God that giveth the increase. I have heard great men of God preach this week, great men of God, with messages that 30, 40, and 50 years ago, you'd have broke the hearts of people sitting there. But I also know you showed things to Capernaum that Lot and Gomorrah would have repented if they'd seen it. My God, we long to have you just show up grace. I know you're grieved for this country. I know that. My God, I'm one of the reasons you're grieved for this country. I'm one of the men that walked out there, hundreds of people, I told them you were a liar if they weren't saved. And some of them are burning in hell today. And my God, for most of my saved life, I've been a fool. But it has pleased you to put me here for 13 years. And oh my God, you know the testimonies. Doctors have raved. Social workers have raved. Families raved. And there's some others that tell me, and I believe them, Lord. I do. I believe they want the salvation. But I also know that it's God that giveth the increase. God that giveth the increase. God that giveth the increase. And I come from a nation that for 50 years has taught that a prayer gives the increase. You pull this lever and the coins come out the slot. That's not God giving the increase. And I know it. And I confess that as our national sin against you. And my God, I pray this, that you be merciful here. My God, if it grieves you in heaven to pour blessings out on America, we plead with you to please put them anyway on this little spot here. And my God, there's some men of God here who've spoken with great wisdom. I pray that you carry that blessing on with them. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. One charge to you, church. Buckle up. Tonight you're America. Amen. This is a man coming from India. If you had one message, this is what it would be. Brother, I want you to preach it with all you got.
Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a blessing to be here. It's a privilege to stand behind this sacred pulpit. And Black Creek Baptist Church, I want to say thank you for your invitation. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your prayers for our family. The number one question that has been asked me this week is, when are you going back? And I'll give you the simple answer, I do not know. The borders of India are closed. They're refusing to open them for any type of money. We're asking God to do a miracle. Okay? It's going to take a miracle to open those borders up this year. We've got travel ministers, we've got health minister, we've got officials saying nothing opening till the 1st of January. But I believe in a God who can do miracles. All right, we've been off the field over 1 year now. We came back off, as I told you last time, in March 2019. And we were planning to go back the 13th of March of this year. 30 hours before my flight was to take off, India closed her borders. And so I don't know what God's plan is. All right, the airline gave me a voucher, said you can travel in within 1 year, use that voucher. And so India is still locked up. They're not allowed to move around too much. People are going back to work. Churches are absolutely closed. And by the way, it's not like America where mosques are still open and churches are closed. Over there, the mosques are closed too. Okay? They're consistent. Unlike this blasphemous governor up here, who has been very differentiating and unfair to God's people. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to take a chapter from 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I ask for the reading of God's word that we stand. I'm going to start reading in verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Notice he's leaving home. He's obedient to his father. He's responsible to take care. The sheep are in someone's care. Are you listening? Don't you leave your job unattended. Don't leave your responsibilities unattended. Young people, you go from one person to another person. You go from one place to another. Make sure your job is complete. David was a responsible young man. Bible says he went with it as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the trench. Notice where he's going. Leaving home, he's going to the trench. Sounds like a great place to be, right? In our modern day, that would be gunfire, that would be disease, that would be danger. How many are ready to go? Hello? How many are ready to go? He's not going to an easy place, folks. He could have stayed home and watched the sheep, couldn't he? The Bible says, as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle, for Israel and the Philistines have put the battle in array, army against army, verse 22, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, ran into the army, and came and saluted his brother. In the middle of war, he obeys. Can I tell you what today, folks? In the middle of war, we must obey. There's no such thing as lockdown for an independent fundamental Baptist church. We must obey. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. And I don't understand that word. I've got it underlined in my Bible. Sore afraid. Wow. If there's one thing America's in the grip of tonight, it's fear.
Right.
And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, Why camest thou down hither? What are you doing here? And with whom hast thou left those two sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You just came here to see what's going on. Can I tell you what? There's some people here tonight just came to see what's going on. You won't admit it till the cows come home. You're here to see what's going on. And David said, What have I now done? And here's my text tonight. Is there not a cause? Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we need your help tonight. Without thee, O Lord, we are nothing. Without your presence, O God, we are nothing. And I pray to you, O God, you use these lips of clay, hide me behind the cross. And Lord, may people see Jesus. Lord, as those people came to Philip and said, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Tonight, O God, in spite of what we see, in spite of the problems, may we see Jesus. And we'll be careful to give Jesus all the magnify, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I read the passage so we can get the context. David asked a simple question. What have I now done? What have I now done? There's some people could hear and say, What have I been doing? Some could say, I've been doing something for a long time and I don't know what I've got done. I've been preaching for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I've been serving God for the last 10 years. I've been faithful in the church of God. I want to ask you, what have you got done? What's been done? What's been accomplished? As he walked into that camp, he heard the battle cry. He came into the trenches. There's three things I noticed, four things I noticed. Number one, he saw a leadership without direction. Saul was to be the leader of the nation. The people had rejected their God and said, We want a king like everybody else. And they refused God as their head. Have we done the same? We want a leader. Yep. 2008, we elected a great leader, didn't we? We want a leader. Number two, he saw an army without a motivation. He saw the people without a purpose, no motivation. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. We don't know why we're here. We don't know what we're against. And we don't know even how to fight. Amen. A people without a motivation. Can I tell you what? That's the Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches of America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number three, he saw an enemy defying his God. But then I noticed something that hurts. Something that most of us can identify with. And that is a family deliberately scoffing him. They're questioning his motive. They're questioning his action. They're questioning, what are you doing here? I got simple points tonight. When a preacher says it's simple, it's complicated. First of all, I want to look at first a country without a cause. A country without a cause. It means no purpose, no direction. And I have to say, very little character. When we lose character, we lose purpose. When you start with the wrong habits, you lose your character. I think about that demoniac of Gadara. I can imagine him being a well-established man, probably with a family, probably with a good job, with all possibility respected in the society, but his habits broken. Separated him. Annihilated him, cut him off from everything, and where is he now? Dwelling among the tombs. Folks, we have a country tonight with no God.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
Right. We have a country that doesn't care about God. We have a country tonight, 64% of our youth have never been inside a Bible preaching church. We have a country tonight, divorce rates are decreasing. Do you know why? Because they're not getting married. Richard Mendt alluded last night, 24% of all women in the state of Maine or in the state of New York have some sort of lesbian reactivity. 24%. I started searching some numbers here a while ago. State of Vermont has less than 21% of people who identify as Christian. This is America. State of Maine follows very closely along with New Hampshire at 22%. A great increase of Christianity. Only 22% identify with Christianity. Number four comes in at Massachusetts. Yeah, at a 26%. A nation with no God. You see, tonight in the world, we have 20,100 different religions. But in our America alone, we have 3,700 religions floating around everywhere. A country with no God. The Bible says the people imagine a vain thing. That's right. You see, they became vain in their own imagination. And when you begin to do that, that is the beginning of setting up your own God. That is where America is tonight. We have set up our own gods. We denied the Lord God that bought them. Set about is to establish their own gods. I see a decline in the mind of the human. It is not progressing, folks. Contrary to science, contrary to religion of evolution, contrary to what's being taught in our schools, contrary to what 68% of Christians in America believe. They believe in evolution. Yeah. We're going down, not up. We're declining, not progressing. Why? Because we have a nation of God, a country without a cause. You see, many people have attempted to build a society with God, without God. Remember Nimrod? Let us build. Let's have unity. I love that word. I've been asked to join the pastoral society in India. We need unity at any cost. We can build a greater kingdom. We can build a better society. they never once mentioned the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of society are you going to build? Today's world has a denial of the Word of God. You know why? Because Satan has cast that doubt that God's Word is not true. I appreciate the stand of Brother John. I have an inerrant, infallible Word of God. Amen. Historically accurate, linguistically accurate, and perfect in our language today.
Amen.
I don't believe there's any mistakes in the Soul King James Bible, folks. Not one. You see, my friend, politicians have come to the point of an abject rejection of truth and right. It's not just the world. It is society in general. It's the schools, it's the colleges, it's the seminaries, it's the cemeteries. That God's word is not important. I like to call them cemeteries because they criticize the word of God. They're dead. They don't have a basis. They have no authority. They have no right to be preaching or teaching God's word. I have three thoughts on that. A society that denies the word of God is called humanism. Humanistic thinking, humanistic ideology. Man is the center of everything. Ever heard the word ego? We have become an egocentric society. Centered around self. Judges chapter 21, verse 25, if you would. I don't have a lot of verses tonight, but I do have a few. Just to keep you from falling asleep. Chapter 21, verse 25, the word of God says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Wow. You see, this is the product of years of brainwashing. We have come to the point in America, what I think is most important, what I think is relative to me, and relativism has crossed into the churches.
Right.
You think it's okay for you, but I don't think it's okay for me. There's no absolutes.
Amen.
This is the problem. When you have no absolutes, do you know you cannot say anything is wrong?
Right.
Anything goes.
Yeah.
We've lost. And I told a good friend of mine in Virginia, he's pastoring a friend. We're pastoring a church down there. We've been close friends since college. He said, Brian, America's ready to go to a war. I said, sorry, they wouldn't win.
Right.
Why? We're a bunch of losers.
Yeah.
Why? Because we've lost our moral fiber.
Right.
We've lost the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. We've lost the standard whereby to measure what is right and wrong. What am I saying? The society of humanism says there's no purpose for living, therefore no cause, no effect. Life has no meaning because you can't define life.
Yeah.
Baby has no beginning because you don't want to define what a baby. Some stupid idiot said that we have a fourth trimester.
Yeah.
Is he loose? Or is his elevator just doesn't go to the top floor? Tri means
three.
But they're saying we got a fourth trimester in our colleges in America. It's okay to abort in the fourth trimester. Bunch of stupid ninnies. to call themselves Americans. They hate the word America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? They have no cause.
Right.
They don't know what they're living for. Number two, a government that denies the word of God we call socialism or communism. Not socialism. A government without God. Bernie Sanders wants a government without God. These stupid people that are running for president, they said, we want socialism. We want Medicare for all. And they said, we don't need any absolutes. Why? We're all equal in this thing. Can I tell you why? Not everybody's equal. You know what I am? I'm a deplorable. That's what we are. We're good for nothing. And praise the Lord, I am good for nothing. My God, have mercy on me. He gave me a purpose. He gave me a desire to live. And he gave me an understanding. Life is valuable. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we want socialism. We have, you know what they define socialism as? Social media.
Yeah.
Oh, if social media is so wonderful, that's the kind of government we need. What is this? I don't know what they've been drinking. I don't know what they're smoking. But that's not socialism. Psalm 9 verse 17 tells us, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Mm-hmm. Psalm 33 verse 12 tells me, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Proverbs 14 verse 34, the word of God says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any
people.
That's where we are tonight. We're a reproach to God. We're a reproach to his holiness. We're a reproach to his righteousness. We're a reproach to his greatness. We're a reproach to his glory. Because I believe God's ultimate goal for mankind, number one, is to reveal his grace and glory to all mankind. From Genesis to Revelation. From generation to generation, God wants to reveal his glory and his grace to all mankind. But when that nation, or any nation that begins to take his righteousness and makes it a reproach, how can we have God's glory? And I got a question tonight, how can we have God's grace? You're just stomping it. You're stepping on it. You're casting your pearls before swine. And by the way, number three, a religion that denies the word of God. First of all, what was the denies the word of God? A society. Denies the word of God is called humanism. A government that denies the word of God is called socialism. And by the way, a religion that denies the word of God is called modernism. We're full of it all up. I am fed up. You see, it's not the old timers who fought modernism. Today we don't have to worry about modernism. All we have to worry about is Satanism. And they're in our churches. Mm-hmm. The agents of light, transforming themselves as angels of light, they stand in our pulpits all across America. The average state in America has 6,000 churches. Did you know that? Average state in America. In New York alone, New York City, I mean, we have 6,000 churches. Oh. 2,000. in established buildings and 4,000 churches in New York City that are house churches are renting in some hall. We've got more churches than all any state in the Union. Wow, that flabbergasted me. And I begin to wonder, what's our problem? Because we have allowed the modern teaching, the modern philosophy, the me first mentality to enter into our churches.
That's right.
Feminism is an abomination to God.
Right.
By the way, the equal rights idea is an abomination to God.
Amen.
What am I saying? God hates it when we make ourselves God. He says, I will not share my glory with another. That is our country today. We have no cause because we have lost the moral fiber. The backbone. We can't build a society. We can't build an army. We can't defend our borders. We can't even defend life within the womb. And we expect to defend ourselves against China? Bunch of hogwash and poppycock and nonsense. We think we're the greatest army in the world. Can I tell you what? We're the greatest losers in the world. I'm not against the military, don't get me wrong. I respect those who fought. I have a high regard for those who gave their lives for our country. But the branches of militaries are a joke. You know why? Do you know why? I have preached in Killeen, Texas back in 2000. I gave my testimony the first night. After I gave my testimony, there was another preacher coming up, main speaker. The pastor came down off the pulpit with my wife and my little baby, and I, we were sitting over here. He came and says, you're preaching after this now. I'm like, oh, Lord. He said, I want to give you a topic to preach on music. Okay, that's just wonderful, right? You're sitting in the pew, and the preacher comes up and says, you're preaching next, and you got to preach on music. I took my text out of Psalm 66. And I preached for an hour and 15 minutes concerning the elements of music, the purpose of music, and the glory of music. Had a great time. But I remember after I got done, all these men came forward from the church. It was a military church on the army base. Killeen, Texas. He said, Brother Brian, we've been in the military 20, 25 years. And we understand what you're talking to. Because when you put that foot forward in the army, you don't start with the left foot. If you know anything about marching, it goes forward, right? It comes down very solidly. There's a standard there. I said, the reason our music has fallen in America is because we've lost the standard of morality.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We've got trash in our homes. A country without a cause. I'm also noticing in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 24, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 24. A religion that denies the word of God in America. We're so full of modernism and selfishness. Verse 24 says, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Ezekiel 20:24. They didn't execute God's judgments. Ezekiel, turn over just a few more pages, 36. Chapter 36, verse 18. The word says, "Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, for their idols wherewith they had polluted it." This is America tonight. We have polluted ourselves and we have shed blood. The officials of New York City have shed blood of innocent people. The governors and the mayors are held accountable for innocent blood dying. But in our churches, we're no different. Why? In our churches, we have Christians who think abortion is okay. We have polluted the land.
Yeah.
Their blood cried to their creator.
Yes.
Somebody has to pay.
Right.
And I believe in pay day someday.
Yeah. Amen.
You see, America, we're living without a cause. We've lost that moral fiber, and we have lost the desire to live by the standard of God's word. Luke 18, verse 9, I'm reminded of that text. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. This is our churches today, folks. And Jesus said unto him, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You see the self-righteousness? You see the trust in self? That's a country without a cause. Yes, we're lost, folks. I was preaching down in Oxford, PA the other day, just 3 weeks ago. I said, America is going down. You may not like those words, but I'm going to tell you very honestly, America is going down. So I got a question. Who comes first, God or family? That's a tough one, isn't it? Which comes first? God or job? Job or the career? Which comes first, God or freedom? Ooh, preacher, don't make us choose between those things. You see, many want freedom, but they don't want the truth. Many want their rights, but they don't want the truth. I'm fed up with these people who think they got their rights. We want justice. We want rights. Yeah, you got a right to go out and get a pickaxe and start digging a hole. Mm-hmm. Why? Because being politically correct does not make you biblically correct.
Amen.
We think because we elected Trump and we think he's going to get back in, which I have my severe doubts he will. That doesn't make him or you biblically correct. But we've got our society so built up on political correctness, a political party, a political platform, and we've forgotten where is truth. My Bible says truth has fallen in the street. Where's the truth? Pilate asked that question, standing before truth. He asked, "What is truth?" And couldn't look him straight in the eye. He didn't wait for an answer, did he? He just turned his head and washed his hands. See, if you want the truth, you've got to wait for the truth. If you want truth, you've got to seek the truth. If you want truth, you must not seek any other thing. This tells me the way America's going, because we do not want truth today. Our brother has alluded many times this week concerning the networks, the TV, the media. If you tell a lie enough times, anybody will believe it.
That's right.
There's not a shred of truth in the news media. Not one little bit. If they're telling me it's going to rain tomorrow or today, I'm going to step outside first. Why? They're liars. They got an agenda to destroy America. They got an agenda to destroy morality. They got an agenda to destroy the churches. We got an America without a cause. America without homes. May I ask the question, who rules the homes? The husband or the children? The husband or the wife? My Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Not just when they're pleasant either. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Oh, to God, men would go home and love their wives. I'm talking about preachers too.
Come on.
Go home and love your wife. Respect her, love her, hold her as that separate, that sanctified, that beautiful vessel. Hunger is a treasure. Oh, to God. I praise God for a wonderful wife. I know Brother Williams has seen her, but he doesn't remember her. She grew up in Maine. Very simple home. Father was a logger all his life. Just last January, February, he cut back to 40 hours a week. And he's 71 years old. She learned the sacrifice that he made. Men, if you're working a 40-hour week, I don't want to hear anybody complain. Mm-hmm. By the time I was 12 years old, my father had me working out 15 hours a day. Right. What's the problem? We don't want to work. The work ethic is gone. We want freebies, don't we? We got our rights to this. We got our rights to $15 an hour. Hogwash! You ain't got an education. You ain't worth 10 cents. Oh, but I gotta have my minimum wage. How many know the background of minimum wage? How many know the background of minimum wage? Oh, yeah, right. It's to guarantee the freed slaves that they would get a little bit of money every day that they would work, minimum. Uh-huh. But we're all clamoring about minimum wage, aren't we? Well, that ain't enough to live on. Shut up! Minimum wage is not the basis of a household income. Go out and get a job. Minimum wage job is just to get kids started in the work world.
Amen.
Not to make a career out of it. Mm-hmm. Who rules the homes? Husbands, love your wives. How long? Oh, that's the top one, isn't it? My Bible says till death. Till death. That's right. Till death separates. That's a picture of the love of Christ. Nothing will separate us from the Lord. You see, because we've lost that picture of Christ in the home, we've lost the picture of Christ in our societies. Satan knows that if he can destroy the home, he can destroy the society. Here's another one. Wives, submit to your husbands in the Lord. How long? How long? Until he gets in a fit, a rage, and starts slapping people around. I told my wife, and I told my father-in-law, I won't lay a hand on her. Some of you fools have laid your hands on your wife. Shame on you. She is to submit to you, as the preacher was saying.
to a sorry bunch of us. That's right.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is convenient, right? According to what I like, right? You see, children have an idea. As long as mom and dad give me what I want, then I'll obey them. Hogwash! You got a country without a cause. Obey your parents when it's not popular. Obey your parents when it's not convenient. Obey your parents whether acceptable to your friends or not. Whether your girlfriend likes it or your boyfriend likes it. Obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. It's the biblical thing to do. I'm reminded of Hannah in 1 Samuel. Did she raise him? Did she teach him, or did he just grow up on his own? A little latchkey here. You think he just grew up on his own? No. Do you know the problem? I'll tell you the problem. The problem comes when we say we need more and more and more to pay for all the debt that we have, and mama has to leave home and get a job. There is the problem. My wife and I were married in June of 98. We had already discussed this before marriage. That is, she wanted to teach a little bit in a Christian school. I said, honey, that's fine. As long as we don't have kids. And she taught in the Christian school until we had our first child. She has never taught a day since. Why? She's been home. Where the woman belongs. Where the lady belongs. Is that popular in America? Is that popular in our Christianity? Is that popular in our culture? No, it's not. Why? Because we cannot live within our means. For every dollar we make in America, we're spending $1.56 more. You expect to pay bills that way? Cut back a little bit. Live within your means. That's right. Hannah raised her son. He didn't raise himself. I got a message on it. I'm not going to preach it tonight. If so, we'd be here till 11 o'clock. But I teach on Samuel's life. The condition of his calling, it was a terrible condition. Homes were broken. People were doing whatever they wanted to. The religion was broken. They had no vision for God. And yet one lady raised a son for the glory of God. Amen. Folks, we can do it. We can do it. Don't say I can't do it. March 16th hit, by the 20th of March of 2020, 72 million kids were being homeschooled. And everybody was pulling their hair out and said, I can't handle it. My wife was just sitting back, folding her hands on She's taught three of them personally. Right up through, top three. We still got two left. She's been teaching for 20 some years, folks. She's taught at home, where I believe children need to be taught. Is that popular in America?
No.
Is that popular with our politics?
No, it's not. Why? We have an America without a cause.
The more hours that they spend outside of your control, outside of your domain, outside of your love, outside of your control, the more Satan has control over your kids. And then we wonder why our kids are on drugs, into prostitution, have defiled themselves by the time they're 9 years old. average 11-year-old in America, 2 out of 10 kids have already experimented with sex. 11-year-old girls. We got a problem, folks. What are you fighting for tonight? Are you fighting for your rights? Standing for truth? A country without a cause is a country which fights for rights rather than freedoms. Dear friend, there's a great difference between liberty and rights. As Christians, we have no rights. That's not popular either, buddy. I laid my rights down at the foot of the cross. I gave my all to Christ. When I say all, that means my will, my love, my ambitions, my desires. I lay them all at the foot of the cross. I said, not my life, yours, Lord. We give up our rights. But because we have been programmed with the idea of rights, we have lost the cause. Well, let's get to our second point. Well, I want to give you a quote here. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. Amen. We don't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, handed on to the same for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like. It was once like freedom in the United States where men were free. Ronald Reagan said those words. Amen. What are we going to tell our kids? We used to be free in America?
Yeah.
Why? Because we've raised up a generation that we have taught them that everybody is equal. Nobody's a loser, nobody's a winner. Freedom must be fought for. It must be stood for. Respected. Until we respect freedom in America, we deserve none. Number two, a country without a cross.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 23, if you would, verse 4. Young people, are you listening? A country without a cross. This means no burden. Matthew chapter 23. I'll get there in a bit. Verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Did you get that? Somebody's putting a burden on us and they themselves are not willing to carry the burden. Somebody's willing to tax us, but they don't want to be taxed. Somebody wants us to carry the responsibility, but they themselves don't want to carry any responsibility. Irresponsible elected leaders. That's America, folks. But that's what our churches are following today. Why? Well, if the government can do it, if society can do it, if the culture can do it, why can't we do it? Are we different? Sad to say, we've not become much different. We want to put the burden on somebody else to pray. We want to put the burden on somebody else to raise our kids. We want to put the burden on somebody else to preach and reach. We want to put the burden on somebody else. Young people, listen to me. It behooves us to carry our load. The young man must carry his burden in his youth. Don't shirk responsibility. Carry your burden. Don't whine about it. Stop complaining about responsibility. Stop complaining about your job. Stop complaining about your chores. Stop complaining about your parents. Why? We don't want a burden. We don't want to be responsible. We don't want to work. What do I mean? There is no self-denial. There's no cross. We don't want to carry our cross. Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. Take up your cross. Stop playing the blame game. Well, it's not my responsibility. Shut up and just do it. Well, it's not my job. It doesn't matter. The floor needs to be cleaned. Just pick it up and clean it. We've got to be people who are willing to carry a burden. I have people in India ask me, what has made America so great? I said, because God blessed America at one time.
Amen.
But I also believe people volunteer and they can worry about their rights and they help their fellow men. Today we don't even know our neighbors at first hand.
Yeah.
How can you carry a burden? How can you pray for them? How can you love them if you don't even know them? We've got a country that doesn't want a cross. They don't want a problem. They don't want burdens. They want life handed to them easy. We want to work 33 hours and get paid for 74. We want mom and dad to buy us the car, but we haven't saved anything for ourselves. I told my kids, my grandfather told me, when you make money, 10% goes to God automatically. And if you're single, 60% goes in the bank automatically. You don't play with it, you don't touch it. The other 30% you can play with if you want to. Or you can help somebody somewhere along the way. But we think people should give us something, right? Well, preacher, I don't make no money. That's your fault because you're not getting up doing something. Ask someone to take it out to try. See what kind of response you get. Ask someone to clean the toilet. See how many people volunteer. Ask anyone to rake leaves or sweep the steps, the sidewalks, or shovel snow. Ask someone to clean the gutters. See what kind of response you get. Ask someone to go with you on visitation to the hospital where someone's dying. Oh, preacher, I can't do that. But ask somebody to come over to a house and watch a 3-hour movie. Hello? What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Ask someone to go with you to the mall. See what happens, young people. We'll have a carload, won't we? Ask someone to go to a little bitty church way up in the middle of nowhere in Black Creek, New York, and says, where? What? I invited 3 families to come up here this week. They all asked me the same question. Where? Why? I want to see God's blessing. But you know what? If you want God's blessing, you got to be willing to carry the cross.
Right.
You got to be willing to take up responsibility. How about this one? Ask someone to go to prayer with you meeting tonight at 11 p.m. You see, we're building our little church in India. I had our men, we began praying from 6 to 8 o'clock every morning. Then at 11 o'clock to midnight every day. God began to do the work. You see, folks, in 6 months we had 47 people. Was it a hard task? Yes, it was. Was it easy? No, it wasn't. Did people hate us? Yes, they did. But that little church began to grow, and I praise God is still going today. That was the first church. We began to ask God for another church in the same city in 2006, a year later. I was again laid up in my back, and I said, Lord, I can't do this myself. I need your help. We began to fast and pray. We set ourselves for November 1st week for a second church. You know, preacher, how many families showed up? 17 families showed up. Now, did they all stick around? No, because they all came to see the show. Many of them did.
Oh, there's a new church in town. Let's see if he can go and pollute it. Let's see if we can put our little doctrine in. Let's see if we can get ourselves a position. Yeah. I begin to preach on 1 Timothy, the authority of the church. I begin to preach on Acts, the responsibility of the church. And little by little, 11 families left. That's right. It's called pruning, folks. Yeah. I'm not worried about numbers, folks. I want to see faithful people. Mm-hmm. But by saying, we need to carry our cross. The reason many of you are in depression today is because you refuse to get up and do something and carry the cross. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Elijah went into depression. He sat under a juniper tree. And he wished to die. You ever been there? Yeah. Why do I want to live anymore? There's no use anymore. I don't know what to do. It just ain't fair. Don't get me started on that. But Elijah, you know what God did? God began to reveal himself and brought him glory, his presence to Elijah. And the first thing to get out of that depression, God gave Elijah a job to do. Go and like this king. Go and like this man. Go find yourself a replacement. Oh, I love that, don't you? Go and like somebody who's going to take your place. Take my place. Yeah. That's right. Elijah got out of his depression pretty fast, didn't he? That's right. You know why? We think that God needs us. There's a big mistake, folks. God doesn't need you.
Amen.
Can I say that again? God does not need you.
Amen.
But he wants you. He chooses to use you. In his amazing love and grace and power, I'm amazed that he would choose me.
Number three. A country without Christ. A country without a cause. A country without a cross. But I want to take a look at a country without a Christ. Pluralism has sat in our country, folks. Anything goes, any which way. All religions are equal. All gods are the same, so they tell me. Mm-hmm. There is no Christ. David asked a leader, he asked an army, he asked a family, he asked his own brethren, and ultimately he asked the country, is there not a cause? Don't you have someone to live for? Don't you have a reason, a purpose? The reality is, until you know Christ, there is no cause. That's why Christ is being wiped off American history. That is why Christ has been removed from the courthouses. We have lost the Christ of the Bible and replaced him with an antithesis or an antichrist. That's right. Mm-hmm. I already gave you the statistics on the states. Vermont at 21%, Maine at 22%, New Hampshire at 22%, Massachusetts 23%, and my own state, bunch of losers, 27%. What's going on in America? They don't have a Christ, they don't go to church, they don't worry about anything. Religion is off. Newcastle County of Delaware is the first county in America that has been rated and says, there is no God. We have become an atheistic nation. You want God's blessing? And you think God's going to give us another reprieve? I don't think so. We don't deserve it. But when you go out in the streets, you know what they say? I'm okay. I got my religion. I'm sad. Thanks anyway.
I've knocked on doors in New York, folks. I passed out tracks. You know what they tell me? I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we got a country without Christ. They don't see the need for Christ. Do you know why they do not see the need for Christ? Because they do not see that they are in sin. You see, to them, Christ is just a religion and a crutch, like Bill Gates says. Bill Gates has damned and killed more people in his field than any single man. That's right. More than Hitler put together. Bill Gates has destroyed.
Yeah.
He is the one who funds Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
He is the one who funds these vaccines that destroy millions in India and Africa.
That's right.
There's 14 That's cases right. against Bill Gates in a country of India alone.
That's right. That's right.
Of millions and millions of people who have died because of his new vaccines.
Yeah.
You know what they call it? He is such a philanthropist.
Yeah.
No, he's a planned killer.
That's right. Yeah.
It's organized crime, folks. Google is the number one monopoly, the biggest monopoly in the world, and they have you in their control. It's all planned, folks. They control 80% of all news networks in the world, not just in America. That's Google. They filter what they want you to find, and they hide what they don't want you to find. You know what they hide first? The truth.
Yeah.
That's right. What am I saying? This is America without Christ. He's not acknowledged. My Bible says there is no thought of God in their minds. There's no even thought of it. God is removed from their thoughts. It's called brainwashing when you begin to think without Christ. It's hopelessness. It's depression. It's discouragement. And ultimately, it's destruction. A life without Christ. In America, number four, my time's finished. But I want to give you the last point. A country without a Christian. What do I mean? A country without a witness. We are to be the witness, are we not? We're to be the little Christ, are we not? We're to be the ones who are to portray the Lord Jesus Christ in and through our life. What happens when there's a country that has no Christians? Poverty ensues, yes. Anarchy ensues, yes. But every man begins to do what he wants to do. We spend $2 billion a year on car washes. Yet we spend $72 billion a year on pets in America. $72 billion. This is a sign of a spiritless Christianity. Nominal Christianity. I'm not saying these are unbelievers. We're talking about believers doing the same thing. They spend money on their cabins. They spend money on their car. They spend money on their retirement. They spend money on their fortune. They spend money on their houses. But where is the money for the work of God?
Amen.
We have 2017. We had 1,700 missionaries come off the field, my dear friend. And we literally had less than 200 to replace them.
Yeah.
Where's the witness? Where's the Christian? He's so occupied with the things of the world, he's forgotten the things of God.
Yes.
We're closing 4,000 churches a year across our America.
Yeah.
And does that bother you? Where's the witness? Where's the Christian?
John chapter 15, verse 26, the word of God says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me," verse 27, "and ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." We've been called to be witnesses, folks. We're called to be salt of the earth, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salted? We've lost our cutting edge. We've lost the flavor. We have become useless. We have become empty. We have failed to be a witness. We're to be the light of the world, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Is our eye full of light? Our eyes are full of darkness, I think. That's what the Bible says. We cover ourselves with darkness, and we fail to be the witness of the truth. What's the cure for America? What's the cure? Folks, we gotta have a cause. We must have a purpose. We must know where we come from, why we're on this earth, and what is our purpose while we're on earth, and we must know where we're going. There has to be a cause for it. If we have lost that cause, we have lost God's presence. And many of our churches have lost the cause. Maybe that's a very pertinent question, maybe not. Is there not a cause? I normally don't preach topical messages. I like verse by verse, but that's my preference. But I got a question tonight in America. Black Creek Baptist Church and every other church represented here tonight. Do you have a cross?
Come on.
Do we have a cross? Do we have a Christ? And are you willing to be the Christian that we need to be?
Come on.
You see, the cure is in Christ, not in politics or Washington.
That's right.
The cure is in Christ, not in Reformation, not in tax reform. The cure is in Christ. The cure is when we as God's people say, "I've had enough of the world, I want more of God." Nothing else matters but a relationship with Jesus Christ. The cure comes when we say, "I will be responsible for my family. I will take charge of my family. I will lead my family. I will love my family. And I will live for my family." Then the cure begins. You know what? We need men and women who said, "I will." Let Christ be glorified. You see, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. If the family is destroyed, the churches are destroyed. If the church is destroyed, the country is gone. What matters to you tonight? Do you have a cause? Yes, we do. Let's pray. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle put under a bushel, but on a candlestick it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Are we allowing God to be glorified in our lives tonight? Father, thank you, praise you, we worship you. Help us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Change us, Lord. In Jesus' precious holy name I pray. Amen.